When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.
I had Broadus getting out of his beanbag in my corner of my eye right here. I'm trying to stay focused the whole time.
I got a little upset. I was trying to work on my Masters tickets. It's that time of year that you get to put in for the lottery. And then I couldn't get out of the beanbag because I was working on the Masters tickets.
So, I was just trying to guess what color of red you're going to be when you try to get up.
Sorry about that, Lucius. I didn't mean to be that way about it. Yeah.
What do you call that technique for getting out?
It's what the sea lions do at SeaWorld when they get up on the deck and they throw a bunch of fish in their mouth and go back in the water. That's what it's called. It's kind of like I'm on fire. I roll on the ground and then try and pop up.
That's what I thought. It's kind of a strop, drop, and roll situation.
I'm kind of feeling like I'm going to blow my Achilles doing this sometime, though. That chair is so comfortable.
I can't believe you haven't slipped a disc.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time.
Fat people do not pull muscles. I'm talking about that.
Sure, you can't pull fat.
All right. Tim Kalashaw, Morning News, asking today, as the finals prepare to get underway, and Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks taking on the San Antonio Spurs, is losing Jalen Brunson the biggest mistake the Mavs ever made? The Franklin Injury Attorney text line is open for you if you want to leave your name and city you're texting from. I think it's up there. You know, there's trading Luka, there's letting Steve Nash go, there's letting Jalen Brunson go. Is there anything else that compares? Maybe that's another good subject for the Mavs fans out there if you want to text in. But those are the three. And, you know, how would I rank those? I don't think Jalen Brunson is the biggest loss of all time.
No, it's definitely still Luka. It's not even close.
Could he be number two? You know, was it a bigger brain dead decision? But the circumstances that led to it were just really tough for the organization to process.
Yeah, the whole thing was difficult, and I think just like looking at it just by itself, yes, losing Luka is worse, but you were ultimately able to get flag out of that, even though it was unintentional. With the Brunson thing, it's just he leaves.
Yeah.
And there is no real silver lining to, oh, but you ended up, like, the domino effect didn't lead to anything awesome with the loss of Brunson.
Well, okay. But here's the domino effect for the Luka situation. Your GM's fired. Your head coach is fired. They're having to get rid of every single person that basically had anything close that resembled, okay, I was part of the Luka decision. Your entire fan base revolts right now. It's now broken. It's a fractured relationship between the city, between the team and their fans, all because of one move, and that's trading Luka Doncic. So I think all of that, when you look at every single layer and impact from the Luka move, it's not even close, despite the compensation and still even getting flagged, which was not part of that trade.
Right.
It ends up happening, but it's to me, that doesn't even factor in. So I still think the Luka decision is the worst in the history of the organization. But when you look back and it's like, wow, you had Luka and Jalen Brunson, who are two of the best players in the NBA right now. And 2 years ago, you were in the finals with one, and now Jalen Brunson's in the finals with the Knicks. Those probably are the top two. And I get your point. I mean, losing, and it, like, what did you get back for losing those guys? And ultimately, it comes down to right now, it's Max Christie and a first round pick.
A couple of them. You get the future pick from the Lakers and the Wizards.
I guess. You got nothing for Jalen Brunson. And that goes back to when he was drafted initially and they botched the rookie deal for him, right? Yeah. They had like a year shorter on the deal than what they should have had.
Yeah, you know, I think more than anything, it was the beginning of the signs that Mark Cuban was not financially capable of running an organization anymore or owning an organization anymore. You know, because and he said it when he sold the team, like he didn't want his family to be the people that had to make tough financial decisions, letting players go, and then the entire world hates you. You know, as the owner of the team. So, you know, but Brunson was a late bloomer, and they had made like a final offer around midseason to Brunson. And then he leads you to have the upper hand against the Utah Jazz with Luka out. You're up 2-1 because Jalen Brunson is balling. And then he and his dad really wanted to go to New York.
Yeah.
Like, it was the worst kept secret in the NBA for like 4 months. So after all of that, you know, you feel like maybe he doesn't want to be around. You feel like you've made him a very generous offer and said, this is our last offer. And then he goes off. And I would hope that an organization would be more flexible. Like, wow, we really didn't see that coming. That was, you know, an incredible breakout for a 26-year-old player to have who spent 4 years in college. And you're going to be a late bloomer now here in the pros. But I think, you know, between the negotiation, the late blooming factor, and then, you know.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Him and his dad wanting to go to New York, I kind of gave them a pass on it, even though at the time I was screaming, you got to give him what he wants, you know, because finding that second player. But I don't think it would have resulted in greatness with Luka and Brunson, do you? I think having those two guys on the court at the same time and the defensive liabilities that they would, like, I've taken a long time, but in this segment, I think maybe right now Brunson might be the most overrated player in the entire league.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much success they would have had together just because of the defensive issues that would arise, but he would have still been an asset that you could have moved for something else.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
But in terms of criticizing the Mavericks, I mean, they didn't have the foresight to know that he was going to blossom the way that he did, and by the time you had that feeling after that playoff run, it was already pretty much too late. Because he wanted to go to the Knicks. So I don't criticize them hugely, but you think he's the most overrated player in the sport right now?
Yeah, I think he's a good scorer, you know, and he gets the ball a ton because there's not a lot of other guys who can create their own offense on that team. So I think it's a team perfectly built around him. Maybe the best roster construction around a small since the Allen Iverson 76ers, who also got to the finals in, you know, an era of the Eastern Conference that wasn't the most difficult to make it. But I don't want to take anything away from that. But you look back on Allen Iverson's supporting cast, and it's good defensive players, it's rim protectors, and then he gets to go out there and pretty much have a green light in any situation. But Jalen Brunson doesn't rebound. Like, they're compared to others, there's between 3 and 5 rebounds per game that somebody at his position could get. He's not an elite assist guy. What are we at? 6 assists?
7.
7 assists?
7 assists, there's, yeah, 3 boards a game.
There's 2 or 3 assists per game between him and the elite distributors and playmakers for others. I just think he's a great scorer on
he's
a
clutch.
Team
yeah,
magnificently built around him.
Right, like that's in a depleted East. Yeah, I think the clutch factor has to be factored, and I do think he wins. Like, he wanted Villanova. I mean, obviously, what you said about even when Luka was on the floor, he found a way to win for the Mavericks, and he did help change this culture with the Knicks where they were kind of laughable. I mean, I think all of us would look at the Knicks, and we were just waiting for them to ultimately just disaster to happen. And now he's gotten him to an Eastern Conference final, an NBA final. Like, I do think there's flaws in his game. I think you're right about that. But I think some of the intangibles that he brings to the table here, I don't know that I would say he's overrated. I do think there's some value that he brings outside of just scoring, the clutch factor. I think that he creates a belief and he makes teammates around him better.
Dallas Wings are not overrated. They blow out Seattle 79-56. Salute to the front office. Salute to the coaching staff as well for putting together a roster this good and snapping into place. They're now 6-3, 1 game behind the Minnesota Lynx for the best record in the league. Beckers last night, 10-9-7. You had 6 players with 9 points or more, and Ozzy Aha James poured in 18. It's like 4 or 5 different players on any given night that can carry the load, and they just have quality all over the place. So I think we're about to be treated to a summer of very high level basketball. Maybe a run. Maybe a run at the title.
Okay, really great point from a texter in the 945, going back to the Brunson stuff. It was the initial contract, his initial rookie contract. They gave him a straight four-year deal without adding the team option for the final year. Second-round picks typically get contracts with team options, and so it was sort of an oversight that meant Dallas could not retain him as a restricted free agent.
Yeah, they couldn't match. Yeah, I
would love to go back into that world in 2018 and figure out why didn't you give him the usual contract that second-round players get.
Mark Cuban at that time was doing favors to players.
Okay.
You know, like, and it was
that's
weird.
What that feels like.
Dwight Powell, like, oh, well, we don't have anybody else that wants this contract, so we'll go back and give you even more. You know, it was weird, and maybe the Jalen Brunson thing was, you know, because they were a big fan of him and wanted to show how much they believed in him, you know, because it was, but they were the only team that did believe in him. You know, guy goes to the second round. There were a ton of teams that passed on him, so I think they deserve credit for recognizing that you know, he was capable of doing something like that. But I just don't think they had the money when it came time to pay him. We got a football fix coming up next. We'll check where you're taking it.
Yeah, let's do it. We do have some A.J. Brown talk as he is discussing the Jalen Hurts situation. Cover athletes and slippery slopes. That's next in the Nation.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.